Well, let's stand for the honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read out of Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. I'm going to take the title of the youth theme during the Mission Fuge. It was called Unashamed, and we are going to use that as the text, as the main thought this morning is Unashamed. So look at your neighbor and say, Unashamed. Okay, the subtitle of the message this morning is Choose Your Team. Choose Your Team. So look at him and say, Choose Your Team. We are about to read a passage in Joshua chapter 24 where Joshua calls the Israelites together. And basically, he just lays it out and says, it's time to decide which team you're going to be on. You're going to choose God and serve Him or not. He lays it out. And so this brings us to Joshua chapter 24. We will start with verse 14. It says, Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods of which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Father, speak to us this morning. We thank you for your word. It is true. And we ask, God, that you would convict us today. And Lord, that we would evaluate where we stand, Lord. Are we on your team or are we on an opposing team? Lord, I pray that your word would speak to us today and pierce us, Lord. And Father, that we may choose you. Lord, help me to be a plain preacher today. So plain that a child could understand. I understand the strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And so we come to this moment where Joshua is calling them to choose a side. Now, how many of y'all have a favorite sports team out there that you like? You got a team that you enjoy, all right, you got that. And back when I was young and about 9 years old, the Atlanta Braves was my team. I mean, I played Little League for the Atlanta, not the Atlanta Braves, I wish. I played Little League for the Braves. TBS, you know, that's all that was on. My grandfather watched them, so I grew up watching them. That's when they had the powder blue uniforms on, okay? This is when Dale Murphy, Brett Butler, you know, and all these guys, and some of you are like, I don't even know who, some of you know who I'm talking about. They weren't that good, but we liked them. And we just wanted them to be good so bad. And finally, you know, by my upper high school year and early college days, they got Greg Maddux and John Smoltz and Tom Glavine. I mean, some ace pitchers that were just awesome, you know. Man, they could just place it right in the strike zone everywhere that you want, that wherever they want it, they could put it in there. And they finally won a World Series. And, woo, it was exciting, you know. And death today, not so much. You know, it's like, so do you still stay with the team or do you jump and find another team? Now, my son, he loves sports too, and he likes to wear the jerseys and stuff. And I asked permission, so he said this is okay. So I'm going to bust on him just a little bit, okay, because he was a big LeBron James fan when he was with the Heat, right? And I was just, LeBron James, you know, I get the jerseys. LeBron, he is the best. He is awesome. I mean, he's like the best. And I was trying to educate him on who Michael Jordan was, you know, to really tell him who the greatest was. And it was LeBron James and all this stuff. And then, a year ago, not this past NBA title, but, you know, last one, there was a guy that stepped on the scene, Steph Curry. And, man, he could just dribble like none other. He's like one of the best shooters. He's got his hat. He's got the hat on there, you know. And he's one of the greatest shooters, you know, I've ever seen, actually, you know, just pure shooter, and they won. And then this year, they started off, man, they had the best record in NBA history, and he's like, he's Curry, 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 you know, he's got the Curry stuff on now, and LeBron James, he's down, he's in the drawer, you know, and not bringing his stuff out, and And so Caleb likes to, if someone gets hot, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm about them. You know, it's Curry, he's the best. And then when LeBron is, oh, LeBron. And we have a lot of people like that, right? It's fair-weathered fans. It's people that some people even wait until after the team actually wins the title. Then they go out and buy the gear and say, like, yeah, you know, go. And then and many of us are like that, right? We like to get on the bandwagon. Like when the team's doing well, yeah, I want to be on that team. And then when they don't do well, it's like, oh, I don't know if I want to stay on that team. And we have choices to make. Like, are we going to stick with this team? Or are we going to join another team? Or what are we going to do? And Joshua was calling the people together, and he was saying, listen, you got to decide. You can't wear both jerseys. You got to choose one. You got to pick a side. You got to choose a team. If you're going to serve the other gods, then fine. And there was different gods that he talked about. He said the gods that were beyond the river, that was the gods of the father of Abraham. Abraham was brought up in a pagan home. Okay, Abraham wasn't anybody who loved God and served God until God drafted Abraham on his team. And God changed Abraham, and God took Abraham out of the situation that he was and away from his country to follow him. He said, you can serve the gods that our forefathers. He says, the ones in Egypt, well, these are the gods of the Egyptians, the pharaohs. You had the gods of the Nile, the land, the sky. Ra was the sun god. He was the great god of Egypt. And he was thought to be continually embodied in the ruling pharaoh of the time. And when God actually sent the 10 plagues upon them, it was an attack on their gods of the land, of the sea, of the air, of the sun. In essence, what God was showing them is, you think your gods are great, you think your team's great, you haven't matched with me yet. You haven't competed with me yet, because I'm greater than any of your gods. I'm greater than any god that you can serve. I am the true God. I am the living one. So he says, you can serve those gods if you want to, or you can serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live today. These were the gods like the cruel god of Moloch, who demanded sacrifices of infants. There were the cultic prostitution cults of pagan worship that was there as well. And so as I read that, I start thinking, like, well, what are the false gods of our day? You know, what are the opposing teams? What are the other options that we have? And I think that we can look at some generational curses that are in our past, because we can drift or gravitate to want to wear that jersey, and we become victimized by our forefathers or our parents or grandparents, and we get trapped, and we think that we are stuck on that team, and we're not. And so I hear people say this, and some of you may have even said this. Well, my dad was an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. My grandfather was not. I'll always be an alcoholic. That's just who I am. Wrong. You can break that. That can be changed. You don't have to play on that team. You don't have to wear that jersey. You can be broken from that. Well, you know, I was just raised in a family where there was just drugs, and, you know, and that's part of our life. I'll always be a drug addict. Wrong. You can break that. You don't have to serve on that team. You know, well, my family, you know, my parents, they were divorced, and that means, you know, I'll probably get divorced. No. You can have a marriage that stays together. You don't have to play. Well, you know, my mother, she suffered depression. My grandmother, she suffered depression. I will always be depressed. And they had tendencies and thoughts of harming themselves. And I guess that's just how I'm going to be. Wrong. You don't have to choose that team. You don't have to wear that jersey. You don't have to serve that false god. You can come to the Lord and be on his team and be delivered from that and be set free from that. Amen? Some other false gods that we have in our culture today is, you know, political correctness, I think, is a false god, wouldn't you think? I mean, to always be so concerned about what the world says and making sure that we side with the world that we're afraid to stand with the word. It's a big issue. It's a big problem. It's a false god. It's not about being liked by our culture or society. You have the false god of the universal mindset. You know, we're all serving the same God, and we're going to end up all at the same place somehow. We each call God by different names. That is a lie. That's a false god. When tragedy strikes, here's what we like to do. Tragedy strikes, and so we'll, you know, we don't ever want to pray, but then when something bad happens, everybody wants to pray. But then we just don't call on the Lord. We've got to invite all faiths, right? So we'll have some type of prayer event that happens, and they'll invite an imam up there, a rabbi there, maybe a pastor there. They'll try to maybe get a conservative pastor if they're invited, or a liberal pastor, and maybe a Buddhist and a Hindu, and they'll all be on the same stage and calling out to their God over what happened, right? You've seen it. It happens. But the only problem is there's only one true God. And so everyone on that stage is praying, but those who are praying in the name of Jesus to a false God. But we celebrate that diversity and that universal mentality that we all worship the same God. And it's not true. We don't serve the same God as the Buddhist or the Muslim. We serve Jesus Christ, the Lord. And so if you want to just say, hey, you know, just pick a faith that they're all the same, you can choose that team and you can go that route. But I'm telling you, you're on the wrong team. Elijah had a competition like that once. Remember, you call upon your false gods. Go ahead, call them, call out. We'll call down from heaven and see which God can bring fire down. And there's only one who could, and that's the Lord. We have a false god of a rainbow flag. People like to wave the rainbow flag and get behind that. And then people ask me, what do you think about what happened in Orlando? I think it was awful. I think it's a tragedy. I think any time a human life is taken, it's ungodly. It's not right. And why? Is because man was created in the image of God. The reason why human life is valuable is because we are created in His image. That's the reason why human life is valuable. What else do I think? I think we better get ready. I think we better get ready. I think what we saw in Orlando is a reality check that there are a bunch of people, there are a group of people in the Islamic faith that are extreme in their activity that would kill every single one of us in this room if they could. And we've got to wake up to that. I'm not sure. I think it's some pretty crazy times right now, you know. You look at what happened, Great Britain pulls out of the European Union. Okay, I don't know if we're living the last days or not, but it seems like we're ticking to the top of the hill and we're in the roller coaster about to go, whee! I think we're about to have a ride here pretty soon, and we better be ready. You better be in the right cart, and you better hold on, and you better know who Jesus is, because the days could start getting rocky right now, and there's going to be a temptation to bail out and say, I don't want to join this team anymore. Whoa, this is getting too real, and we'll jump off and get into a false god, and if you do, you're in trouble. Now, you can do that. You can choose another god. You don't have to serve Jesus. You don't have to follow Him. You don't have to go in His ways. He will let you wear whatever jersey you want to wear. But you can't wear them both. You can't wear them both. You can't wear the rainbow flag and the Christian flag at Same time. It can't happen. Unless that rainbow has an ark. Which then, that's the sign he gave to Noah, which is ours, and we'd like it back, really. Because you can't side with something that goes completely opposite of what God's word says and wear both. You got to pick. Now, you can do one or the other. But you can't do both. Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Did you get that? If you're not with him, then you're against him. It's an either or. Oh, we don't like that though. We like a both and. Can we have a both and option? No. It's either or. Read the Gospel of John. It's either you're in the light or you're in the dark. You're either a sheep or you're a goat. You're either lost or you're found. It's not both and, it's either or. And so today we have a choice. Either we gather with him and we are about his kingdom and we live for him and his glory and we live our lives for his unto him, pleasing unto him, that our walk is worthy and that we're inviting people to him. Because if we're not doing that, Jesus says, you're actually scattering. And so if you're scattering, you're not gathering. If you're not gathering, then you're against me because you're not for me. Pick a side. Pick a team. Can't wear them both, but you don't have to wear Jesus. Here's the thing about God is he will let you have what you want. Read Romans 1. Go home and read Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, there is a group of folks that cease to want to acknowledge God. And it says, even though God has made himself evident through creation, that they have suppressed their knowledge of God and they reject God and they begin to worship the creature rather than the creator. And they exchange the truth of God for a lie. And then it goes on and it says that God gave them over to a depraved mind. Here's the scary truth about God. You reject him, and you want to have it your way, and you want to do it your way, and you want to have your own way of lifestyle, and you want to go against God. He will say, that's fine. You can have it. And it says that he gives them over to a depraved mind, and then men began abandoning the natural relationship with women, and men are with men with men, and women burn for other women. That's not natural. It goes on, it says also that they're malicious gossips, they're haters, they're murderers, that they're disobedient to their parents, and he hands them over to a depraved mind. And so if you don't want to follow God and you don't want to love his teachings and you don't want to live for him, fine, you don't have to. God will hand you over to what you want. And here's the sad thing is what you want, what you think you want is not what you need. We think we want our freedom and our own will to serve and do and believe however we want to. We don't want to submit to God. When we make that choice, we're on the wrong team. But you can be on that team if you so choose. Jesus had an encounter once with a guy that came to him and asked him, good teacher, what do I do to be saved? And he says, well, you know, follow the law. He lists off some Ten Commandments for him to follow. And the guy says, I've done that. And then Jesus makes a statement to him, and he says, well, here's one thing you need to do. You need to go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and then you will receive riches in the kingdom of heaven. What does Jesus do at this moment? He puts his thumb right on the God of this man. See, this man thought he was following the commandments, but in actuality, he was breaking the very first one. You shall have no other gods before me. He loved his money more than he loved the kingdom. And here's what the Bible tells us in Matthew 19:22. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And what does Jesus do? He lets this guy walk. he comes to Jesus saying, I'd like to go to heaven. Jesus tells him, and he walks away sad because he's not willing to give up his God. He chose his team. Jesus doesn't run after him and say, wait a minute. Did I say all? I really didn't mean all. I just meant some. He lets him walk. He was teaching another time. He had a lot of disciples, and he gathered them around. This is in John. And he begins teaching them, and he begins saying stuff like, if anyone's not willing to eat my flesh and drink my blood, he cannot be my disciple. And they begin thinking, whoa, this Jesus thing, this is too much Jesus. This is too much Jesus for me. I can't handle this, you know. I mean, these people really believe in Jesus. I don't know if I can really believe in Jesus. This is a little too extreme. And so it says, as a result of his teaching in John 6, verse 66, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. He lost a lot of disciples that day. And you know what he did? He let them leave. He let them walk away because they chose what team they wanted to be on. Luke 9, verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone says to him, I will follow you wherever you go. I mean, that sounds like a great statement, doesn't it? I'll follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. And Jesus says to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He says, oh, you really want to follow me? Here's what you need to know. The foxes, they have a place. They have a natural habitat on this earth. The birds, they have a nest. They have a place on this earth for them to dwell in. But the Son of Man, what you got to know about me is I have no place here. There's no place on this earth for me because my kingdom is not of this world. And so if you're going to follow me, this world won't be your home anymore. You'll be a stranger. Your home will be in heaven. So if you're going to follow me, I need you to know the seriousness of what's going on. Jesus says to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go bury my father. And he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another, he said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. And Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What's he bringing people to? A point of decision. You got to decide. Which team are you going to be on? You going to wear the Jesus jersey? You going to follow him? Or are you going to follow another path? Joshua, he says, but as for me and my house, I'll what? I will serve the Lord. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus has his moment of when he's calling them to a decision as well. And he brings his disciples together and other people from the crowd. And it says, and he summoned the crowd with his disciples. And he says to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, realize this, that when he made this statement, they didn't know the cross as victorious. They only knew the cross as the Roman way to torture and kill someone. This cross was a sign of defeat, of pain, of agony. And he says, if you want to follow me, you have to be willing to pick up your cross. You have to be willing to lay aside and die to yourself so that you would live for me, so that your life is not about you and your agenda and your dreams and your goals, but it's about what Jesus wants for your life. Because his way of life's not easy. It's not always the better life. I mean, you look at folks around you and think, well, these people, they don't love Jesus, but it looks like, man, they've got all kinds of good things happening to them. Why do the unrighteous seem to get ahead and the righteous suffer? That's the problem of the Old Testament, is what they say, right? But this life in Christ is the only life that will take you for all eternity. He says, you got to be willing to take the cross and follow me. And then he goes on and he says, in verse 35, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will what? Save it. Will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but yet forfeits his soul? What if you do get that house you've always wanted? What if you make that salary? What if you reach that salary that you always dreamed of reaching? What if you are able to do this and that and have all of this stuff? What happens when you get all the stuff that you've ever really wanted and you thought, man, life's all about this, and you forfeit your own soul? Because when you die, none of the stuff we acquire goes with us. Nothing. For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's what verse 37 says. Now look at verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Did you hear that? You ashamed of the jersey? You ashamed to name the name of Jesus? Because here's what a lot of people do. You know, we want to wear the cool jersey, right? I mean, we want to wear the jersey. If we play baseball, we want to be on the team that has like the real deal jersey. We don't want the Parks and Rec jersey, right? We don't want the practice jersey. I mean, I went to a single-A school, and so we would go to ball camp, and these guys, these other teams, these other schools, they'd have their basketball jersey on. They had a real jerseys. And we came out wearing practice jerseys, and we looked goofy. My basketball shorts when I was a sophomore in high school was still the Larry Bird shorts. Everybody else had the new Michael Jordan shorts down to your knees. Ours was way up here. And we walk out there and we look goofy. And many of us, many people, you know what they do? They see Jesus as the goofy jersey. They see Jesus as the practice jersey, as the one that doesn't fit. And Satan has a way to paint the world and its luster and its desires, to sexually allure you, to materialistic allure you, to philosophically allure you. And he paints this world to where, man, they've got the spot on cool jerseys. And if you want to be in the end, if you want to be on the team that really has it going on, you need to be on that team. Look at that Jesus jersey. Look how foolish they look. They carry their Bible. They read it. They actually pray. They actually say no. They actually keep themselves pure. How ridiculous is that? Do you see how foolish they look? And if we're honest, many of us, we get embarrassed of that jersey. And we try to hide it. And because we want to be the cool kids. We want to be in that cool group. See, Jesus, he's that weirdo. He's that geek. He's that nerd. He's the guy in the lunchroom that no one wants to sit beside. He's not at the cool table, so I don't want to sit there and identify myself with him. Quite frankly, Pastor, it's embarrassing. And I don't want somebody to make fun of me or not invite me somewhere. You know what I've discovered? Is that people never grow out of that. As adults, they still feel the same way. I don't want to wear that Jesus jersey. Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me in this generation, I will be ashamed of you when I return. But if you're not ashamed of me, I'll not be ashamed of you. He says it different. He says it another way. In another gospel, says, if you deny me before men on earth, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. But if you confess me before men on earth, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. You see, here's the reality. Here's the truth. Jesus isn't the one wearing the goofy jersey. He's really the one with the cool jersey. He's really the one that's got it on. It's the world's jerseys that are the off-brand. It's the world's jersey that really doesn't fit. And what's going to happen is if we let the enemy deceive us, we'll go through all of our life wearing the enemy's jersey, thinking we're on the winning team. And when we die, those false gods will rise up and mock you. For your eternal soul will be damned. Because Jesus is coming back one day. And he's coming back and he's going to split the eastern sky with all of his glory. And he's going to be riding on the victorious white horse, where he'll say, King of kings and Lord of lords. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And every person's name that's not found in the book of life will be cast in eternal hell. That's the end game result. But hey, choose for yourself who you'll serve. You don't have to serve Jesus. You don't have to love him. You don't have to repent of your sin. You don't have to turn from him. You can walk out these doors saying, you know what? I'm not following Jesus. He's not going to stop you. But there will be a consequence to that choice. May not be immediate, but it will be eternal. And so this morning, I'd ask, who will you choose today? Which team you'll be on? If it's Jesus, choose him. That's why the Bible says, if you hear his voice, now is the appointed time. Do not harden your heart, for today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you, God. Lord, there are some folks here this morning. They haven't decided you yet. They haven't decided to join your team. They're still trying out different teams. And I pray you speak to them, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for rescuing me and for saving me. And I was on the wrong team, and I was headed down a wrong path, but you called me. And you spoke to me and you invited me. And so, Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, I pray that you speak to them, that you would awaken them to how great of a God you are, and they would run to you. Lord, for those of us who know you, if there's been moments in our life where we have gotten a bit embarrassed for naming the name of Jesus, would you forgive us? Lord, if there's some Christians here today that want to try to hide that jersey, would you let them know how great it is and how wonderful it is to follow you? That it might not be easy, but it's worth it. That you alone have the words of eternal life. And may we be proud of you. God, may we use this time just to worship you, honor you, obey you, Lord, as you're leading us to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing. Let's stand and sing. Let's respond. Let's come. We got places to pray. Let's pray. For any reason, you need to come and pray. You pray. Maybe it's for someone. Maybe it's with someone. Maybe it's just you just want to have time with God to do some things right up here. Whatever the reason is, let's come. Let's pray.